Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to Him forever. Welcome to our kitchen table.
Welcome, and we would like to wish you happy Holy Week. May it be fruitful, and that you go really in deepness in your faith towards the crucifixion and the resurrection of our Christ. That being said, I have to apologize, but we don't have batteries for my recorder, so today it will be very short podcast.
Yep, one paragraph.
Just one paragraph.
It's a good one, though.
Maybe we will do one during the week.
Okay, sounds good. Yep. All right, so we're on page 41.
First paragraph.
We're in the section, the influence of the parents upon the child. When in this way the parents protect the cradle of their child with the spirit of sincere piety, and when at the same time, on the one hand the guardian angel, and on the other hand the holy mysteries and all the church life, act upon him from without and from within. By this there is formed around the newly begun life a spiritual atmosphere akin to it, which will pour into its own character, just as blood, the principle of animal life, derives many of its characteristics from the surrounding atmosphere. It is said that a newly made vessel will preserve for a long time, perhaps permanently, the odor of whatever was poured into it at that time. This can also be said about the atmosphere surrounding children. It penetrates in a grace-giving and saving way into the forms of life just being established in the child and places its seal upon him. Here also there is a protection that cannot be penetrated by the influence of evil spirits.
It's a beautiful paragraph. One thing that really comes to my mind, I mean, this is very straightforward what he says, but what really struck me is the principle of animal life derives many of its characteristics from the surrounding atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
And I've read a handful of lives of saints, and especially elders, to contemporary ones. And what I love about their lives, how they start, usually it is in their pious upbringing,
mm-hmm.
Very pious mother, very pious father.
Mm-hmm.
They brought them to church. Everything was oriented towards Christ,
mm-hmm.
and everything was pious, or this to this highest standard that that Christian possible could be,
mm-hmm.
and then these guys became saints.
Yeah,
you know. And my most favorite to be saint, Elder Kopa, the parents did even one step closer, and that is that they created a home church within their house.
Mm-hmm.
They reserved one whole room that which was filled with icons, and they would go and pray it even at midnight.
Mm-hmm.
They would wake up the kids and they would go pray, and then, you know, after a few minutes, kids would be released to go to bed, and
right.
the parents would pray again, or keep praying. And that's how, that because of those prayers, Elder Kuopa and his two brothers naturally, without thinking, went to monastery.
Mm-hmm.
And were very solid monks.
Yeah.
New Psalter, and when they're on the trip, they knew they were reciting Psalter by themselves,
mm-hmm.
each of them, and definitely beautiful saint to read about. But
mm-hmm.
this is what reminded me is that while Saint Theophan is comparing like the principle of animal life, like if animal is in a craziness, then the animal will be crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So is the child.
Right.
If the child is in the chaos and rushness of the day, or even if parents are not present,
mm-hmm.
you know, not in modern day,
mm-hmm.
it does something in some kind of a, I believe some kind of level that child becomes unaware of this spiritual gift that it has received during the baptism,
mm-hmm.
and you know, then it's difficult to regroup back and
sure.
show what's the right way.
Yeah.
So I mean, this is really, like, for me, a tough punch.
Yeah. Well, what the story you're telling is reminding me of, and I was looking out of my phone because I know it was one of these contemporary elders.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was Saint Porphyrios.
Mm-hmm.
Was it Saint Porphyrios, or maybe it was Epiphanios of his aunt raised?
Epiphanios.
Okay.
Oh.
His aunt raised him, or had a lot to do with his upbringing. And when he was really little, he would be squirming in the kitchen on a stool, squirming on the chair, just not in peace, you know,
mm-hmm.
just how little kids do. And his aunt snapped at him and told him, "You're going to lose paradise if you," or something along
mm-hmm.
those lines. Is that what it
yeah.
was?
Yeah.
If you don't sit, if you're not in stillness,
mm-hmm.
or if you're not
still
and
yeah.
in peace. And and
after
I tried,
a while,
yeah.
the boy moved, and he literally asked her, "Did I lose paradise?"
Mm-hmm.
And she, you know, then she was like, "Not yet, but you're close."
Like, move a little more. But, you know, something that I think about, it's a little dramatic to think about that. Like, I think about our little ones and forcing them to be still. It's
yeah.
not a thing.
But I think it was much older, too.
Well, yeah, I understand. But but that's another example. Like,
mm-hmm.
you do have to teach that. And also, they have to witness you in that,
yeah.
in silence and in stillness, if you want to kind of instill that.
Yeah.
Well, okay. I should say, this is what I think and what it sounds like Theophan is saying.
Yeah.
I don't have any experience in this yet. So,
we're trying.
Yeah, of course we're
yeah.
trying, but, you know, we're in the beginning still.
Yeah. One thing that I can see is, and this is not bragging, I mean, many of our friends do it, and I wanted to try it, so we tried during the Lent, is no TV.
Mm-hmm.
And going back before the Great Lent and comparing ourselves now, I do see that everybody calmed down a little bit.
I think so.
And even we saw the immediate change when, because I did it at almost at midnight to surprise you,
mm-hmm.
and I knew when I moved the TV out of the room, there was some kind of a different peace in the room. And I didn't say to you anything until you came down in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And when I asked you what you think, and you said, like, well, there's some kind of a peace.
Yeah.
Like, interesting.
I love not having a TV.
Yeah.
I mean, we, and on top of it, we don't watch TV often at
yeah.
night, on the weekends, really, that's about it. But even just having that in the living room made some kind of, I don't know, disharmony in the
center of attention.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well,
I think it's something.
Are you ready to move on from?
Yeah,
okay. Sorry. I know we're crunched on, maybe.
I know.
Crunched on time. One thing that stood out to me was just the line of a spiritual atmosphere. Let's see. Well, the guardian angel and all the holy mysteries and all the church life act upon him from without and from within. By this, there is formed around the newly begun life a spiritual atmosphere to which it will pour into its own character. And this goes into the same sentence that you had pointed out. And we were just, I mean, we're talking about this just right previously, but about this atmosphere, it reminded me about our marital prayers that we pray at night.
Mm-hmm.
And in those marital prayers, it's part of it is make our home a sanctuary and refuge against all the storms of earthly life.
Mm-hmm.
And when we first got married, I thought that that was a really beautiful phrase. It does feel that way sometimes about, like, being in our home, that it is a refuge. It is this safe haven and kind of, you know, protection from the craziness in the world. And but I also now feel that about our children even more so, that we're, and actually, dang, it's in this next paragraph.
Until next time.
Yeah, no, right. But, well, it, just in the next paragraph, it's saying something about the life of the church. The holy mysteries are a tabernacle, or like this tent that are surrounding the children and keeping them protected in this like safe refuge. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm thinking about when I'm, when I hear a spiritual atmosphere that the children are surrounded by, and mm-hmm. that is what they are absorbing. Yeah. Do you understand? Mm-hmm. What, does it make sense?
Yeah, it does.
It's
something that I mean, I preached a couple of times here, and I got it from a saint. It was not my idea, but like what you bring from home is multiplied in church, and what is multiplied in church is brought back to home.
Mm-hmm.
And then you multiply that.
It's like this synergy that never stops.
It never stops, but it stops when you don't multiply it at home.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. You know? And I'll say that if the week is portable, the Sunday liturgy, or if I have a feast day and it's a bad week, you can feel it in the liturgy.
Yeah.
That it's, I have not brought all of it that I could have.
Mm-hmm.
Or even today, I had baptism, and the first thing I told you, it was a horrible liturgy.
Mm-hmm.
And it was not horrible, it was beautiful. We had a lot of people, a lot of visitors, beautiful baptism. But I had a couple of meetings, or people approached me before liturgy, which I usually don't allow for me to talk, but I had to, and that disturbed the whole flow.
Mm-hmm.
And what I brought from the week to liturgy was just disappeared.
Mm-hmm.
And literally liturgy was scraping anything that was within me just to bring forth something. You know, it might sound bad, but you can just feel it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think once people start to think and understand that what you bring, which is whole yourself, your mind, your thought, your heart,
mm-hmm.
into the liturgy, it's filled and it's multiplied.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you're ready for next week.
Right. So if you're bringing something that's, so you need to bring like all of that goodness,
yeah,
to liturgy, and not bring all of the,
sure, goodness that comes from prayer.
Right. Exactly.
You know, comes,
yeah,
from sitting in silence, comes from praying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even 5 minutes.
Right.
A day can make a huge difference on how Sunday is portrayed.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
Sorry, I jumped in there, but it was a good thought that you said, and I wanted to.
Yeah, but there's a lot to say about this, because I'm thinking, I know that we're just about done with this paragraph, but I think about all of the different ways and all of the different lives that people have.
Mm-hmm.
And we're guilty of it too. We're on our phones a lot. You know, we are distracted by
Facebook likes.
Well, social media or calling our parents even, and, you know, like, which is a very important thing, but,
mm-hmm.
But social media, or just, you know, our phones are doing something, this and that, and it does disrupt the atmosphere of our home.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that we're trying to break, but it's also something that's really common today. And I'm thinking about the examples that we gave of these saints. They didn't have anything like that,
yeah,
that was literally forcing them out of the spiritual realm.
Mm-hmm.
They were able to just be in, yeah, silence, and imagine how much more deep we could be in our life and give our children a different spiritual atmosphere just by eliminating a little bit of our bad habits.
True, absolutely.
You know? And I'm not calling anybody out or calling us out or calling anybody that's listening out, but I'm just saying it's a reality of today. And, you know, yeah, there's no excuse for, like, our life with Christ shouldn't be different today than it was hundreds of years ago. Mm-hmm. You know, Christ is the same and our faith should be the same. Mm-hmm. But we just have so many things pulling us away from him.
Sure.
And I don't know. I think it just changes the dynamic of our home when we have that distraction.
Sure.
You know?
And distractions can attach themselves on the kids.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, yeah.
I think we made a smart decision of not letting TV run.
Right.
Or even tablets.
Yeah.
Or phones.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, very little.
Yeah.
Or only really just when kids are sick or need of distraction.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, but you know, we want to start reading more when we're in the living room because that would be an example. Yeah, an example of action in a different kind of atmosphere that we could give, and something that they could absorb, that this is a normal thing, or even spiritual reading out loud to them, Lives of the Saints, and you know, these kinds of stuff. It would, I think, be a great addition.
Yeah. We started to do remember the Saints of the Desert Fathers.
Yeah, I do. Why did we stop doing that? Man.
I think it was because Amelia was coming.
Oh, yeah. It was that. Yes.
And it was just craziness.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we can restart it soon.
I think so, too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because we really changed. When life happens and things are going on in your life, you have to adjust. And
it's normal.
Sometimes prayer becomes different when you have to make that adjustment. But then once things are easier, then we can, you know, once we're able, then we add more. And
right.
I think for sure we can be ready for that. That's, wow, I totally forgot about that.
I just remembered. Yeah. But I mean, look, a lot of people work, a lot of people don't have, I should say, the luxury that we do.
Yeah.
Me working from home and you working from home.
Yeah.
But I mean, there's always a challenge. And there's always challenge that can be overcome,
mm-hmm.
you know, and we are not monks. Nobody that listens is a monk, I think. mostly, I think
yet.
It's mostly yet. Yeah, hopefully not. No, I'm kidding. But like you will face different challenges that we do. I mean, this, we are sharing from our life, but this is our life. And I mean, you heard, we stopped reading Fathers because of Amelia.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
well,
it's not her fault, but it's just life got crazy.
Yeah, and new baby, tired mom.
So I think
yeah.
Tired mom, tired dad,
mm-hmm.
Oh, tired son. But the best way to go all about this is to really talk to your spiritual father.
Mm-hmm.
And not to go overboard, but really find this middle way, which is not too light and not too burdensome. Well, I think Emilia does not agree with what I just said. I don't know if you can hear or not.
Girly.
So, I think we should end with this.
Sure, yep,
with,
I think
with
so
the
too.
Thought. Yeah, I need to get more batteries.
Okay.
But, yeah, talk to your spiritual father, and it's really good if you really describe him to your whole life.
Mm-hmm.
And what you struggle, where you have free time, where you don't, so he can really give you the best possible way, or he can show you the best possible path to salvation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh man. So much more to say about this paragraph.
Yeah,
this is killing me.
I'm excited for the next paragraph.
Yeah, me too.
And there he even gives us, if you want to do some homework, you can look up Life of Prophet Samuel and Life of Saint Theodore Sikeot, is Sykeote, April 22nd.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to do the homework a little bit, please do. And with this note, God bless you. Thanks for coming back and listening to us. And See you next time. God bless you. Through the praise of our Holy Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, our God, have mercy on us. Amen.